Welcome back. A few of your texts just in relation to the Russell Hotel. We've got a text from Anne in Rathgar who says, I have the key to room 202 in the Hotel Russell. What are you doing with the key to room, or any key to any hotel room in the Hotel Russell? But anyway, it's too late to give it back now, Anne, so you might as well hang on to it, I suppose. And Elizabeth in Cork says, I stayed at the Royal Hibernian a few times with my mother for the winter season of the DGOS. Great food. Now, when World War One broke out in 1914, the Germans, Austrians and Hungarians who lived in Britain and Ireland were obviously viewed with suspicion. The authorities feared that they might support the German war effort, making their presence a threat to national security. Because of this, the British government introduced a policy of detaining them in internment camps, and that, of course, applied to Ireland just as much as it applied to Britain. One of these detainees was Alois Fleischmann, organist and choirmaster at the Catholic Cathedral in Cork. Lorcan Clancy has the story.
Alois Fleischmann was born in 1880 in the small town of Dachau. Today, Dachau is best known for its infamous concentration camp, but in Alois Fleischmann's time, it was most famous for the many artists who lived there.
The land around the town was bog, and bogland creates beautiful lighting effects, and that was what attracted the painters there.
Alois's granddaughter, Ruth Fleischmann, told me how the only son of a shoemaker became a student of music and composition at Munich's Royal Academy.
His father, as a craftsman, had a lot of cultural interests, and when he discovered how very gifted his son was, he started composing at the age of about 12. He allowed him to take up his studies. He left school at the age of 13. He started doing a preparatory course for the academy at the age of 16, and he studied the organ and composition and conducting there, qualified as a church musician, and came back to Dachau, where he was the organist and choirmaster in the local parish church.
It was around this time that Alois met his wife, Tilly. She was born in Cork to German parents who had emigrated from Dachau. Tilly's father was also a church musician.
My grandmother came to study age 19 at the Royal Academy. She passed the entrance exam and went in the first weeks, I think, to visit her mother's people in Dachau. And there she met the young church musician who had now got the post that her father had had 25 years before. And they seemed to have struck up a friendship very quickly. She married him as soon as she had graduated. And then her father left Cork and went to America, got a post in Pennsylvania. He had 9 children. My grandmother was the only one who was in a position to earn a living, who was the only one who had finished her qualifications. So she was expected to come home, and she persuaded her husband to come with her to support the family.
Alois moved to Cork with his wife, where he became the church organist and choirmaster at the Cathedral of St. Mary and St. Anne. When the war broke out in 1914, the British authorities began to round up foreign nationals in Ireland who they feared might be sympathetic to the German war effort.
My grandfather was arrested, taken into custody. He was banned from Cork for 3 weeks and had to go down to Mallow. He had friends among the Republicans. He also had friends among the Ascendancy who were interested in music. A number of the gentry spoke for him, wrote that they would guarantee for his behaviour that he was not a spy or in any way involved in politics. And after 3 weeks, he was allowed to return home and had to vouch that he would, you know, not in any way have any contact with Germany and so on. He then was allowed to carry out his job as usual, but Cork was a very loyal city, and quite a number of people no longer took music lessons with my grandmother because of her husband's nationality. So life became very difficult for them.
Following the sinking of the British ocean liner the Lusitania by a German U-boat, Alois was taken into custody again in the middle of the night in January 1916.
They didn't know where he was being taken to. He was brought up to Oldcastle in County Meath, where there was an old workhouse which had, I think, not been used for quite some time. And there, all civilian Germans living in Ireland, all the men, were incarcerated. They felt, I suppose, that they might have links with the enemy in Germany and were taking no chances. I think he was agonized at having been separated from his small family. The food was terrible. They were freezing cold. He asked my grandmother in the first letter to send 3 blankets and to send food every week. So he was in there with a crowd of strangers, people he didn't know at all. I think he was highly traumatized in the beginning. Then he, I don't know if he started a choir or if he took over one that was already there. There was also an orchestra there. They had music, they had theatre, they did whatever they could to entertain themselves. But it was the enforced idleness of people used to working hard to keep their families alive and knowing that their families were suffering and suffering intense deprivation in many cases.
In May of 1918, as the war was coming to an end and Republican activity in Ireland was increasing, all the prisoners at Oldcastle were taken to a new camp on the Isle of Man.
I think it was due to the coming troubles in Ireland. The police were quite well informed, I think, as to the plans, and they probably thought the IRA might perhaps storm the prison and release them. All the prisoners were taken over to the Isle of Man, and that was a vast camp. There were 22,000 prisoners there. They had 3-tiered bunks, hundreds of them in one huge hall. And my grandfather was a very solitary sort of person, and for him to be incarcerated with strangers was an absolutely nightmare situation for him.
When the war ended in November 1918, Alois was still not allowed to return to Ireland. It would be another 2 years until he was reunited with his family.
They decided on a case-by-case basis who was going to be allowed to return to the country of their residence and who was going to be deported to Germany. I suspect that on account of his Republican connections, it was decided that he was not a person to be allowed back home, and he was deported back to Dachau. Now, Dachau was at that time, it was the end of the war. They had lost everything. There was enormous poverty, galloping inflation. And in Dachau itself, they had had a munitions factory there. Now, after the armistice, the Treaty of Versailles, Germans were not allowed to create any weapons of any kind. So all these tens of thousands of workers had no job. And only for my grandmother, again, sending money from Ireland, he and his widowed mother would have been on very hard times indeed. He didn't know how long he was going to have to stay there, so it was a very difficult time for them. It was September 1920 before he was allowed home.
The detention of Alois Fleischmann there, told by Lurkin Clancy. Frank in Dublin texts to say, nice to hear Ruth Fleischmann, whose study of Canon Sheehan is well worth reading.